I knew a guy that thought he had the answers. Day after day, he would convince himself that he knew it all. He stopped searching for the truth. He thought he had possessed it. But it turned out bad, man. It turned out bad. I knew a dog who found himself a bone and he buried it, he cherished it, and kept it for himself. One day he tried to dig it up, but no, he couldn't find it. So it turned out bad, man. It turned out bad. I knew a preacher who preached all false doctrines. Week after week, he lied to the sheep and caused them all to stray. One day he died and stood before his maker. And it turned out bad, man. It turned out bad. I knew a woman who was so independent. She had a job, a career, and didn't need a man. Far too late, she thought she'd have some children. But it turned out bad, man. It turned out bad. I knew a snake who pretended to be human. He laughed, he smiled, he acted out the part. He had so much money, he thought he'd never lose it. But it turned out bad, man. It turned out bad. It turned out bad, man. Yes, it turned out bad. It turned out bad, man. Yes, it turned out bad. You're listening to the Eurofolk Radio Network here at eurofolkradio.com. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of News Bites. I'm news anchor David James, and this is a special live report. Yeah. You ready for some good stuff? Are you ready for your news fix? Well, let's see what we can do to help you in this beautiful situation. I want you to think about this. This is very interesting. Here's your headline. We're going to attack Iraq. Israel told the U.S., move your planes. In the pre-dawn hours of January 18, 1991, at the outbreak of the 1991 First Gulf War, the Iraqi army launched 8 Scud missiles at Israel, hitting both Tel Aviv and Haifa, wounding 7 people and causing damage to several residential buildings. Saddam Hussein's military went on to fire 30 more Scuds at central Israeli cities, killing 2 people in direct hits and, get this number, 11 others, indirectly from heart attacks and asphyxiation, and raising the possibility that Jerusalem would conduct retaliatory airstrikes on Iraqi targets. Interviews from shortly after the war with then Defense Minister Moshe Arens and IDF Chief of Staff Dan Shamron, which were released by the Defense Ministry's IDF archive on Thursday to mark the 27th anniversary of the Scud attacks, show how real the threat of Israeli response was. You don't really believe that, though, right? And neither do I. It turns out that Ahrens called then Secretary U.S. of Defense Dick. Get it? Dick Cheney. And told him, okay, we're going to attack. Move your planes. Shamron recalled in his interview. Listen, let me explain something to you. These so-called Israelis, their IDF and their armies, are worthless junk. I'm telling you that any army on the planet could beat them, even a bunch of African Zulus. Even the Dallas cheerleaders could beat them. They talk a lot of tough stuff when they know the U.S. is behind them. But the next time they want to go for war, Saddam Hussein would have wiped them out. The next time they want to go for war, the United States should say, well, go right ahead. In his interview, Ahrens confirmed that he said something along those lines. I spoke with Cheney on a special line almost every day. I told him, we need to attack. We need to coordinate, he recalled. Let me add something to it. And Dick Cheney said to him, as long as my company gets to do the rebuilding of Iraq and we can steal money on the black budget, I'm all in. You know, Halliburton. He was always trying to push me off. He said it required permission from the president and that there still wasn't permission from the president, so we couldn't coordinate, Ahrens said. The United States was opposed to an Israeli intervention in the conflict, fearing that it would cause problems for some of the other coalition members who wouldn't want to be seen as fighting on the same side as Israel. The coalition therefore engaged in what was known colloquially as scud hunting, searching for the launchers from which the Iraqi army was firing the missiles, not only at Israel, but also at Saudi Arabia, including one attack that hit a U.S. Army barracks, killing 28 soldiers. Of course, Ahrens didn't care anything about those soldiers. Ahrens noted that relatively few people were killed and injured in Israel. That's all that was important to him, I'm sure, yes. He didn't care about the American soldiers that died. And said that there was a feeling that the next missile could cause mass casualties. The next missile could be a chemical missile. And the Americans aren't succeeding in stopping it. So we have to. Sure you do. Sure you could, you faker. In his interview, Shamron noted that he and Ahrens did not always see eye to eye, and probably because Shamron was a little shorter than Ahrens. Just joking there. And that also, he presented the government with plans for an attack. He personally opposed to carrying them out. If the government said to attack, we'd attack. If the government said to attack, we'd attack. But I recommended that we shouldn't, Shamron said. If an hour later a missile fell with poisonous gas that caused mass casualties, maybe I would recommend to attack. I wasn't saying no attacking from now on until the end of time. Yeah. He recognized that it was not a popular stance among many in Israel at the time. People think they attack us and we don't respond. That's the reflex most people have. That's how we're raised, Shamron said. Aaron always wanted to do something. He'd always bring us a little mission. And I never wanted to do those little missions, Shamron said. When do you lose your deterrence? When do you do something little? Then they say, This is all the Israelis can do, the former general said. The Israelis can't do anything. They're losers. Losers from bottom to top. In his interview, Aaron said he didn't recall Shamron being opposed to the plans for a retaliatory attack, which would have included not only airstrikes, but also the dropping of ground forces in western Iraq. He didn't really say that he, well, just send the women in because we know that your men don't have a propensity to want to go to war, but the women do. Remember that article, ladies and gentlemen? He didn't really say that he didn't recommend it. On the contrary, he presented the plan, and I approved the plan, Aaron said. Even these Jews can't lie straight. Shamron said one of the targets they'd picked out included one of Saddam Hussein's palaces and the Iraqi Army's General Staff Headquarters. Really, with that, let me translate that for you. Some of the targets we picked out were hospitals with sick people in them and children's schools. Moving to chemical attacks, the former Army chief who died in 2008 also discussed the real concern the military had about Saddam using chemical weapons against Israel in the months leading up to the war. He also noted that the Army was preparing for the possibility that the Iraqi leader would embark on a full-scale blitz on the Middle East and try to take over Jordan and Syria. I didn't know if they would fire the missiles, but the possibility existed. Well, you know, I didn't want to go driving my car because there was a possibility that a chemical, you know, fire extinguisher could go off inside the trunk. I mean, there was a possibility that I could get an accident, so I was frozen in time. I didn't know if they would fire missiles, but the possibility existed, he said. Military intelligence couldn't say if they would have a chemical warhead. It was definitely being developed, but it wasn't clear if they existed yet for Hussein Scud missiles. There was an understanding that the Middle East was moving toward chemical attacks and putting chemical warheads on surface-to-surface missiles, which were hard to shoot down, Shamron said. The Army chief noted that before the Gulf War, Israelis' air defenses were limited, lacking any real countermeasures against incoming missiles. No one in the world had a good answer for how to stop a surface-to-surface missile, but we definitely didn't have one, Shamron said. Following the initial barrage on January 18th, the United States and the Netherlands deployed the Patriot missile defense system in Israel, but it was limited to no value. Former Israeli Air Force pilot and military analyst Reuven Pedazur later testified before the U.S. Congress that only one Al Hussein warhead was evidently hit by Patriot missiles. The system has been upgraded numerous times since then and is considered far more effective now. In his interview, Aarons recalled traveling to the U.S. during the war. You know, I would not be surprised, right, if those Scud missiles were fired by Israeli Mossad intelligence. I mean, yeah, it's possible that Saddam Hussein would do such a thing. But I don't think it was very likely. Something would have had to prod him to do something like that. Just like something had to prod him to go into Kuwait. People don't just do things for no reason. In his interview, Aaron's recalling traveling to the U.S. during the war to speak with then-President Jewish George H.W. Bush, to convince him that Israel should conduct a retaliatory attack on Iraq as the coalition wasn't doing enough and the Patriot system was ineffective. There was an argument. And then they said that their figures showed that they were succeeding in intercepting Scud missiles. I told them, look, I'm telling you they're not. They haven't intercepted one missile, Aaron said. Shamron said that real concerns of chemical attacks led to the mass distribution of gas masks to Israeli citizens before the war. Is that where Michael Jackson got his gas mask? Remember he used to wear a mask? I don't think it was a gas mask, but he used to wear that around because his nose was going to fall off his face at any time. Michael wanted to be white, but he wasn't Jewish, and he didn't like the Jews. But he still wanted to be white, like most black people do. I recommended to the Prime Minister that we hand out gas masks to the people instead of keeping them at collection centers, as we had been doing, he said. Well, why wouldn't they give out gas masks? They just charge it to the U.S. Hey, we need another $5 billion for some gas masks, okay? Just steal it off your citizens and send it over. Right away, says the Jew, Herbert Walker Bush. It's better to hand them out when things are calm than in the times of tension, he recalled telling then Prime Minister Yitzhak Shamir. Ultimately, of course, Israel did not carry out any strikes against Iraq because they're cowards, mostly in light of the U.S. pressure against it. They don't listen to us. Though he was in favor of it at the time, in his interview, Aarons acknowledged that Israel as a country lost little of its deterrent power due to its decision to sit tight. Though he said it may have cost Shamir the 1992 election. Maybe we lost a little deterrence in the 1 or 2 years that this was still in the memories of the people that struck us. But Israel is very strong and has gotten stronger since then, Aaron said. Keep fooling yourself, buddy. You're a bunch of cowards. Your men just said they don't want anything to do with battling on the battlefield. They're cowardly little faggots. And the IDF is the most gay-friendly army in the world. Oh, man, I tell you. These Jews are in, you know, disillusion. They're just, they think of themselves like the Negro does. The Negro thinks like they have this fake, this false pride where they think they're something, but they really know deep inside they're nothing. Well, that's how the Jews really are too. They like to put on this false pride and this illusion that they're very strong and getting stronger all the time. But we're not discussing smell here. We're discussing reality. Let me just take a sip of water while we contemplate on such things. Lovely H2O. All right, I got something else for you here. Autopsy reveals Tom Petty died of accidental drug overdose. Another casualty of Big Pharma. When you say Big Pharma, what you want to say is another casualty of pharmakia and sorcery. Legendary rocker? I wouldn't call him a legendary rocker. I would call him a B-class rocker. Legendary rocker? Tom Petty passed away recently on October 2nd, 2017, of cardiac arrest in his home in California. Now, some 3 months later, an autopsy has revealed the true cause of death to be accidental overdose on prescription medications. Listen to this. Petty had a mixture of fentanyl, oxycodone, temazepam, alprazolam, citalopram, acetylfentanyl, and dispropionyl fentanyl in his system. Do you think he had enough in there? The musician, guess how old? 66, was found unconscious and in cardiac arrest in his Malibu home on October 3rd and died at the UCLA Medical Center that evening. A social media post by his wife and daughter reveals this information and offers insight into what Petty was going through medically at the time of his death. Our family sat together this morning with the medical examiner, coroner's office, and we were informed of their final analysis that Tom Petty passed away due to an accidental drug overdose as a result of taking a variety of medications. No, it wasn't any accident. It was the third largest killer in America, the Medical Association. Just another casualty because they succumb to pharmakia's sorceries. And they prescribe these sorceries to people. And they keep prescribing and keep prescribing and keep prescribing. Unfortunately, Tom's body suffered from many serious ailments, including emphysema, knee problems, and most significantly, a fractured hip. Despite this painful injury, he insisted on keeping his commitment to his fans as he toured for 53 dates with a fractured hip, and as he did, it worsened to a more serious injury. On the day he died, he was informed his hip had graduated to a full-on break, and it is our feeling that the pain was simply unbearable and was the cause for his overuse of medication. We knew before the report was shared with us that he was prescribed various pain medications for a multitude of issues, including fentanyl patches, and we feel confident that this was, as the coroner found, an unfortunate accident. Yeah, sure it is. Sure it is. As a family, we recognize this report may spark a further discussion on the opioid crisis, and we feel that it is a healthy and necessary discussion, and we hope in some way this report can save lives. We're not too discouraged, though, because we've got all of Tom's money now, and we're fighting tooth and nail to get our portion. Many people who overdose begin with a legitimate injury or simply do not understand the potency and deadly nature of these medications. They do not understand the potency and the deadly nature of these sorceries, of these pharmakia. On a positive note, we now know for certain we've got all his money in the bank, and we will do all we can to get our biggest portion that we possibly can. This is the same thing that happened after Ronnie Van Zant died. His wife did the same type of thing. She didn't care about Ronnie Van Zant. You know, that's one of my favorite groups is Lynyrd Skynyrd. One of the most original names, and Ronnie Van Zant, absolutely amazing writer and singer, had a real connection with the people. And that's another tragedy of its own. So on a positive note, we now know for certain he went painlessly and beautifully exhausted after doing what he loved the most for one last time, performing live with his unmatchable rock band for his loyal fans on the biggest tour of his 40-plus year career. He was extremely proud of that achievement in the days before he passed. We continue to mourn with you and marvel at Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers' incredible positive impact on music and the world. And we thank you all for your love and support over the last months. Thank you also for respecting the memory of a man who was truly great during his time on the planet, both publicly and privately. We would be grateful if you could respect the privacy of the entire Heartbreaker family during this difficult time. Dana Petty and Adria Petty. A repeating pattern. While his family is quick to point out that this was an unfortunate accident brought on by Petty's severe pain, there is an underlying pattern here that is often underrepresented in the media. Geez, I wonder why. Jews are the source of sorcery and pharmakia, and Jews are the media. I wonder why. Overdoses of prescription medications, especially opioids, are now a leading cause of preventable death in the United States. Preventable death. Opioids, including prescription opioids, heroin, which the U.S. made sure will continue to be a plague on mankind, and fentanyl killed more than 42,000 people in 2016, more than any year on record. 40% of all opioid overdose deaths involved a prescription opioid. In 2016, 40% of all opioid overdose deaths involved a prescription opioid. In 2016, the artist Prince died. That's a lie. And according to medical examiners, his death was the accidental result of overuse of pharmaceutical opioid fentanyl, also used by Petty. Fentanyl is being blamed for a dramatic rise in opioid-related overdoses, which has evolved into a full-blown national health crisis. Yes, that's what the American Medical Association makes sure of. Another crisis. Never let a crisis go to waste. Fentanyl prescribed by doctors for cancer treatment can be made illicitly and is blamed for a spike in overdose deaths in the United States. It's 25 to 50 times more potent than heroin and 50 to 100 times more potent than morphine. Wow. According to the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration, we are slowly realizing that the flood of deadly synthetic opioids is a genuine conspiracy. And a number of cases have emerged recently involving pharmaceutical executives and schemes to bribe doctors into overprescribing these medications in order to create drug-dependent addicts or repeat customers. Well, that's what you are in the American Medical Association anyway. Before the American Medical Association existed, America was the healthiest country on the planet. The people of America were the healthiest. They are trying to wipe out anybody that can heal you and have killed over 88 doctors last year alone. See, they want to treat you. Treating you means that you need to be under their auspice for the rest of your life. You need to be listening to them and so they can prescribe you more and more medications. So listen to this again. We are slowly realizing that the flood of deadly synthetic opioids is a genuine conspiracy. And a number of cases have emerged recently involving pharmaceutical executives, listen to this, and schemes to bribe doctors into over-prescribing these medications in order to create drug-dependent addicts or repeat customers. In a case like this one involving an incredible talent, we are reminded again of how severe this national crisis has become. Read more articles by Alex Petrowski. Well, what do you think of that, ladies and gentlemen? What do you think of the third largest killer in the United States? America is at its unhealthiest state in the history of America, and we have the American Medical Association to thank for such things, a.k.a. the Jew. What are your thoughts on that? Guns don't kill even close to how many the American Medical Association kill, and they're not calling for an end to the American Medical Association, are they? Car accidents don't kill as many as guns. I mean, guns don't kill as many as car accidents. But they're not calling for the end of cars, are they? How about this next article here? My goodness. Now, I happen to be quite fond of this article, and I encourage this to, I hope this goes exponentially. I hope that it just turns into the latest fashion, the latest thing. Racism encouraging blacks to move back to Africa. If you're not happy in America, go back to the place you should be. If you're not happy in America, you can go back where you belong. If you're not happy in America, it's because you weren't meant to be here. You should go back to Africa, the land to you is so dear. America for whites, Africa for blacks, ship those apes back to the trees, ship those niggers back. America for whites, Africa for blacks, ship those apes back to the trees, ship those niggers back. I'd be willing to pay for a ticket. And I think all great Americans would be willing to pay for a ticket to send them back as long as they sign a paper that says they'll never return to the United States. You know, every race has their own land where they can be safe, except for whitey. Japanese have their own place. Negroes have their own place. Chinamen have their own place. Koreans have their own place. Indonesians have their own place. Mexicans have their own place. But whitey, the world doesn't want whitey to have his own place where he can enjoy living his life in safety. Now, I don't think that's very fair. Why some African Americans are moving to Africa. This is the greatest article I've seen all day, the article says. It looks like all the hate and racism we have been pushing is finally paying off. Well, I don't push any hate or racism. But I'm all for the moving back. And so would a lot other people be. Why, we could actually make Michigan great again. They've come from the big cities of San Francisco, Chicago, and New York. Thousands of them. And many refuse to return. Bravo. A new wave of African Americans is escaping the incessant racism and prejudice, the supposed, the alleged incessant racism and prejudice in the United States. From Senegal to Ghana to the Gambia, communities are emerging in defiance of conventional wisdom that Africa is a continent everyone is trying to leave. It is estimated that between 3,000 and 5,000 African Americans live in Accra, the Ghanaian capital. Or is that Ghanaian? They are teachers in small towns in the West or entrepreneurs in the capital, and say they even through living in Ghana is not always easy, they feel free and safe. Naturally, anybody that lives amongst their own people is going to feel safe. And if you are one of these wonderful leaders and Black Lives Matter, you want to get right over to Africa because they're selling people in slavery like they did all those years ago. That's how you got here. You need to get over there and stop your people selling your people. You need to get over there and begin to educate your people. And you need to be leaders. And you need to make a better life for your own people. You don't need to try to be white and try to live up to what Whitey does. You've been blessed. Now you can leave. And now you become a blessing to your own people instead of a curse. Yes, all that learning that Whitey taught you, all that education that you stole for free, you can now use that in your continent, on your continent, to better your people. You can start your own business. You don't have to measure up to Whitey. There's no white cops there. You don't have to worry about the cops. There's no, when you go to the mall in Africa, you don't have to fight each other for little trinkets or sneakers or anything. You can have all you want in Africa. You can start your own sneaker company. Take Mohamedia El Mahajir, a digital marketer from New York City who left her job to move to Accra. She said she moved because despite her education and experience, she was always being made to feel like a second-class citizen. Moving was an opportunity to fulfill her potential and avoid being targeted by racial violence. See? See? You go over there and you can live like a king because you're twice as smart as the people that are over there now, right? Just think of you being a politician in Africa. And you can put on your liberal overcoat, and you can fill all those people in Africa up with your Jewish-fed ideologies. Moving was an opportunity to fulfill her potential and avoid being targeted by racial violence. All blacks in the United States should follow the example of those described in this article. Yes, they should. If you move back to Africa, you'll be around your own people, and you will not be subjected to racial discrimination. That means no more hurt feelings from racist white people. Marcus Garvey tried to do this years ago, but he was condemned by other blacks. Looks like he had the right idea based on this article. Marcus Garvey tried to get his fellow blacks to go back to Africa back in the early 20th century. Unfortunately, they refused to follow his lead. But seriously, why is this such a hard concept for these niggers to understand, the article says. If the white man is so racist and mean, it's easy to buy a plane ticket that will take you back to Africa. This is something blacks should really consider taking advantage of. Because if they think the election of Donald Trump was bad, they haven't seen anything yet. Yes, I agree with that. They have no idea what's about to hit them. This story proves that racism and hate works. We need more, not less of it. The more racism and hate there is, the more likely it is we'll see blacks take their asses back to Africa where they belong. What an article. Next article here for you. Jew Schumer shuts down the government over illegal aliens. Just imagine, this is America. White country. Anglo-Saxon country. And we got a Jew shuts down our government? Something wrong with that picture? Here's the official statement from the White House press secretary, Sarah Sanders, on the Zog shutdown. Official White House statement. This filthy kike. The Jew, Chuck Schumer, has decided that it's best to shut down the government because Republicans won't agree to give amnesty to illegal aliens. Well, you want to know something? I hope this government shuts down. I hope it never starts again. The longer it's shut down, we don't need it. It has become a liability to the American people rather than something that is good for us. It's a liability rather than an asset. As a matter of fact, it's a damn waste of money. It's a huge damn waste of money. The American people would be much better off with their own state governments. They just have to make sure they'd keep the Jews out of them. The Jew-run media has been obsessing over this government shutdown business. I honestly couldn't give a, the article says, if the government shuts down or not. The government has shut down before and the world didn't end. This is just political theater. Basically, what you have here is a Jew, Chuck Schumer, and most other Senate Democrats refusing to support a resolution to fund the government unless they get amnesty for illegal aliens. We don't want any amnesty for illegal aliens. The American people don't want that, Mr. Schumer. Due to Senate rules, 60 votes are needed to move forward on the resolution. This gives a small handful of Democrats the power to block the resolution. Here's the president's latest statement on the situation. Not looking great for our military or safety and security on the very dangerous southern border. Dems want a shutdown in order to help diminish the great success of the tax cuts and what they are doing for our booming economy. Yeah. This is just a political game playing out. The Democrats think that they will benefit over a government shutdown because they think it will put pressure on the Republicans to agree to DACA amnesty. It's a political miscalculation. It's already being branded as the Schumer shutdown, quote unquote. And Americans aren't going to support the Democrats shutting down the government because they want amnesty for illegal aliens. The DACA issue doesn't even have anything to do with funding the government. Number one, you have to realize that they want to bring in as many illegal aliens as they can and get them on the welfare dole, and they will be told who to vote for. You'll never see a Republican ever get in again if these Democrats have their way and get unlimited people from whole nations in our countries. I told you democracy is not for white people. It's for anybody but white people. It is to destroy the white nations, to impoverish the white people, and have them eating out of garbage cans like happened in the Weimar Republic, which was the first democracy in Germany. Oh, yes, it was called the Weimar Republic, but it was a democracy. This whole situation is retarded. I really do hope that the federal government never comes back, ever. I hope it never gets any funding, but I know it will. I'm serious. They're a liability. They're more trouble than they're worth. They can't work together because democracy pits one party against the other. It's a division of the citizenry. Democracy has to go. The Republic needs to be restored. You can't continue this way in this country with democracy. Obviously, you can't because of the socialism. You can't have socialism and be bringing people in and putting them on the dole, thus buying their vote. Excuse me. Let's just take a little break right here. As the sheep are grazing in the field, they are unaware of the danger that surrounds them. They are content and believe that they are safe. They believe they know all they need to know and are incorrigible. Yes, they have heard of the Yuden wolves and believe they are perfectly safe in their company. Though the Yuden wolves call out for all sorts of demands, the sheep keep grazing with their heads close to the ground. Their thoughts are of pleasures and falsely given dreams that shall never come to fruition. They give in to the demands of the Yuden wolves and never question them because they believe the fables of the Yuden wolves implicitly. The greatest shepherd of all time had warned them, as well as many others sent by the greatest shepherd. There were but a portion of the sheep that had truly paid attention, and some had paid dearly for repeating the greatest shepherd's message. The Yuden wolves hated that message and killed the greatest shepherd with their favored form of death by crucifixion. But the greatest shepherd rose from the dead, and his message carries on even in our current day. As the Yuden wolves tear at their flesh, most of the sheep just keep on grazing, pretending not to notice their brothers and sisters that have been torn asunder. The Yuden wolves have poisoned their food, their minds, their bodies, their children, their water, their whole world, and yet they don't seem to care. They don't seem to care for each other as well, nor their children, which are oftentimes sacrificed by the Judenwolves. In the yesteryear, the shofar was blown by the shepherds to warn the sheep so that they would have time to escape the wiles of the Judenwolves. The shepherds are still blowing the shofar and warning the sheep today. They are not aware that the greatest shepherd is soon to return and take account of the sheep's lives. They won't be able to pretend they can't hear then, for it will be too late to repent and search for the truth. May the sheep of today hear this warning, stop grazing, and stop pretending not to notice what is now happening. May they love each other and the greatest shepherd once again, and begin to speak his message to the others. And may the greatest shepherd come soon and renew the heavens, the earth, and the sheep. May he destroy the Judenwolves and return them to the flame. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to News Bites. You're listening to the Eurofolk Radio Network here at eurofolkradio.com. Well, let's continue. The Republicans should call the Democrats' bluff and let the government be shut down as long as needed. DACA is going to expire in March, and the longer this lasts, the less leverage the Democrats will have to play these games. The Democrat base is going to be pissed if DACA expires and ICE starts deporting them. But see, we don't care about the Democrats, or the Republicans for that matter. We want them deported. Doesn't matter about Democrats. Doesn't matter about Republicans. They're all traitors. They're all liars. They all should be taken to task. They should be tarred and feathered after going to trial. And then they should be hung publicly to show the people of the world and the people of the American nation, you don't do this in our country. You don't sell out and get away with it. You don't take money from the enemy of all mankind, the Jew, and get away with it. Sooner or later, this is going to happen. And let's hope it'll be a lot sooner than we think it will. Okay, another article here. Film to show new details of Jewish post-war revenge plot to poison German cities. Let me read that again. You ready? Film to show new details of Jewish post-war revenge plot to poison German cities. A new documentary promises to release never-before-seen evidence on the plot by a group of Holocaust survivors to poison hundreds of thousands of Germans in an act of revenge after World War II. The film Holocaust, The Revenge Plot, revolves around tapes of resistance fighter and later poet Abba Kovner, detailing his recollections of the plan, according to Britain's Channel 4, probably another fake news channel, right? Which commissioned the documentary, of course. The tapes were recorded in 1985 as Kovner was dying from cancer, and explore the 1946 plans to poison the water supplies in several German cities. Now, did we tell you about the poisoned wells throughout the centuries that Jews poisoned the wells, the water wells? And the Jews have tried to say, well, that was allegedly supposed to have happened, but it was only alleged. Jews never would poison water supplies. But here again, here we have an admitted plan. And by whom? Why, by Jews. The tapes were recorded in 1985, as it says, as Kovner was dying from cancer and explored the 1946 plans to poison the water supplies in several German cities. In a second plot to kill thousands of SS officers being held in an American prisoner camp. Kovner is said to reveal how his secret organization, codenamed Nakam, Hebrew for vengeance, infiltrated the waterworks of Hamburg, Nuremberg, Frankfurt, and Munich in order to poison the water supply with arsenic. But there were deep reservations, even among the Avengers, that such an operation... Oh, sure. This is a lie, you filthy, dirty Jews. But there were deep reservations. Get out of here. You don't have any conscience. Don't try to play that swill with me. Either way, when Kovner sailed for Europe with the poison, he drew suspicion from British authorities and was forced to toss it overboard before he was arrested. Now that's what really happened. Channel 4, fake news, fake channel, also said that the tapes indicate that future presidents of Israel, Chaim Weizmann and Ephraim Katzir, were claimed to have been involved in helping the Avengers acquire the poison. The film is directed by Israeli Avi Mercado and also features testimony from the last surviving members of the group, including Auschwitz survivor Yehuda Maimon. Bunch of liars. They didn't survive any Auschwitz. Get out of here. Simcha Rotem. Makes me think of Simcha Rotem. Makes me think of rats. The last survivor of the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising. Now, let me explain to you something about the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising. When Waco happened, and you have the man there who was dressed up like a woman with the glasses on. You know who I'm talking about? We burned the children to save the children. We killed the children to save the children. Janet Reno. Go take a good picture. Take a look at Janet Reno and tell me if that's a man or a woman. Because that is not a woman. But one of the things that really got me fired up and I wanted to choke William Clinton. If it was legal to kill, I'd kill William Clinton. He was up smiling his usual filthy, dirty, rat-faced Jew smile. And he said that what was taking place at Waco was 50 years to the date of what happened in the Warsaw ghettos. In other words, it was revenge. They killed those children and those people in Waco as revenge for what happened in the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising 50 years before that. Despite a visceral desire for vengeance, most Holocaust survivors were too weary or devastated to seriously consider it. After their world was shattered and 6 million Jews killed during World War II. Beware of the fables of the Jews. Beware. Mr. Fuji would say it like this. Beware of the fables of the Jews, Hulk Hogan. Beware. Beware of the fables of the Jews. They lie about the 6 million. They made it all up. 6 million were killed, and there still was 6 million survivors. Hulk Hogan, be prepared. Beware of the fables of the Jews, Hulk Hogan. Boy, oh boy. I'm telling you. They just can't get enough of writing and making movies and documentaries about this fable. Regardless if most of the world does not believe it anymore, they still are trying to push it. They don't know when to stop beating a dead horse. For most, merely rebuilding their lives and starting new families was revenge enough against a Nazi regime that aimed to destroy them. For this is such, I mean, the BS. I need a shovel. You understand what I'm saying? It's so damn deep. The holes in this story and their need to keep repeating it. Repeating it as if it were true. When Jew after Jew after Jew after Jew has come out and they've admitted that the stories that they made up weren't real, but they were real in their minds, but they weren't real stories. They lied all those years, they admitted, all of a sudden. For even more, the whole concept of reprisals seemed pointless, given the sheer scope of the genocide. But a group of some 50, most young men and women who had already fought in the resistance, could not let the crimes go unpunished and actively sought to exact at least a small measure of revenge. Did I tell you that? Of course I have. That the Tsar in Russia torpedoed the League of Nations in 1815. And that Rothschild swore that he'd get his family. And they waited 102 years to get that revenge. Did you know that the Iranian people helped the true tribes of Israel escape over the Caucasus Mountains, and that the Jews still want revenge for that? Do you know how long they've waited for this revenge? And they're trying to act like, oh, well, yeah, well, we really didn't care about getting any revenge, except they keep getting reparations. They killed off all kinds of all millions and millions and millions of Germans. They've destroyed the German nation, the German culture, the German art, and everything else. But they haven't got any revenge. They just were too tired after the war for that. Can you smell BS in the field? Following the setback, attention shifted toward Plan B, a more limited operation that specifically targeted the worst Nazi perpetrators. Now, I can prove to you that's a lie right there. Today, they're still looking for Nazis. They just put a 90-something-year-old man in jail. They don't care how little or how anything. They want revenge. The Jew is full of a lot of BS. Undercover members of NACAM found work at a bakery that supplied the Stalag 13 POW camp at Langwasser near Nuremberg and waited for their chance to strike, estimated 50,000 SS men the Americans held there. This plan also mysteriously failed, even though recently released details of the attempted killings revealed that the Jewish cell used enough poison to kill 10,000 of Germans. Sounds like Yahweh intervened there for the tribe of Judah, the real tribe of Judah. Doesn't it? The cell had used enough poison to kill tens of thousands of Germans, yet it didn't work. Hello? Praise Yahweh? Holocaust! The revenge plot will air on UK's Channel 4 on January 27th. 2 and 7 is 9, the devil's favorite number. Or 9 times 3 is 27, which is 999. To mark the International Holocaust Remembrance Day. And now for some good news. Billionaire Canadian Jewish couple were murdered, private detectives say. Praise be to Yahweh. Two less Jews on the planet. And may it continue and continue and continue. This filth needs to be cleansed from the earth. Montreal, Canada. Private investigators hired by the children of late Canadian pharmaceutical. Get a load of this. This praise Yahweh. Think about what this pig billionaire has done to people, including Tom Petty. Montreal, Canada. Private investigators hired by the children of a late Canadian pharmaceutical tycoon, Barry Sherman, concluded that he and his wife were murdered, the Toronto Star reported Saturday. The 75-year-old chairman of Apotex and his 70-year-old wife, Honey, were found dead in their Toronto home. They were probably killed by their children. On December 15th, Apotex is the largest maker of generic drugs in Canada, and the Sherman's fortune was estimated at more than $3 billion. Toronto's homicide unit, which took over the investigation into the suspicious deaths, suspicious quote-unquote deaths, earlier said that they had been strangled to death, but stopped short of calling them homicides. The Sherman's bodies were found hanging from a railing around a basement pool, the theory being that the Apotex chairman killed his wife, Honey, hung her body, and then hanged himself by the pool's edge. Canadian media reporter in December, citing a police source. I still think the children did it. Sherman's four children, however, said that the murder-suicide made no sense and hired criminal lawyer Brian Greenspan, another Jew, to help, the Star reported. Star. The Edomite Star reported. The Rephaim Star reported. Greenspan in turn hired private detectives and asked for a second autopsy, which was carried out by a forensic pathologist on December 20th, just before the funeral. contract killing. The pathologist and the detectives, which included former Toronto homicide investigators, found markings on the victims' wrists indicating that their hands had been tied with a cord or plastic zip tie. When the bodies were found, the wrists were untied and no rope or cords were found, the newspaper said. The fake newspaper said. Furthermore, toxicology tests on the body showed no abnormal sign of drug use. The team concluded that the couple was strangled to death with men's leather belts found around their necks, attached to a bar at the edge of the pool. Sources close to the family probe used words like professional, contract killing, and staged homicide to describe the couple's death, the Edomite Star said. The private detectives have not been granted access to the house, according to the Star, which quoted sources as saying there was no damage or other evidence inside pointing to a home invasion. And though both the police and private detectives canvassed nearby homes for surveillance video, nothing has come from a study of the footage, the Star said. Do you think they'd care that much if a white Anglo-Saxon couple had died? Sherman founded Apotex in 1974 and over the following decades became known as a ruthless businessman who shunned the limelight while revolutionizing the drug industry in Canada. Are you putting it together? He was a ruthless businessman. You know, the business of pharmakia, the business of sorcery, the business of medications, which is responsible for so-called healing people. The ruthless businessman who shunned the limelight. Today, the company employs over, get this number, 11,000 people and sells 300 generic drugs in 120 countries. You think he only had $3 billion? Well, praise Yahweh that they're dead, and may many more of them die. In the mighty name of Yahweh. I'm going to look through a few headlines here on the Natural News, and we can see what we can glean. Totalitarian Californian government arrests citizens for feeding the homeless. Only the state is allowed to do that. Let me read the headline again for you. Does Yahweh tell us to help our own homeless people? I'm not talking about helping strangers. I'm talking about our own people. Totalitarian California government arrests citizens for feeding the homeless. Only the state is allowed to do that. In other words, they don't want those homeless to get any quality food. They want to make sure that the state feeds them through the kitchens so that they can poison them to death. Slowly. Next headline. Essential oils outperform chemo drug. Former model lost her livelihood to extreme case of psoriasis. After 15 years of trying every standard treatment available from the American Medical Association, a natural treatment saved her life. Next headline. Fresh air, sunshine, and exercise are really good for your heart. Medical science proves the heart disease prevention benefits of being outside. A thought for all of you. Do you have a safe source of water if everything should hit the fan? How about this headline? Unhinged Democrats now fixated on President Trump's body weight, but they never cared about Obama's counterfeit birth certificate. Next one. Tea boosts your brain power. Study finds it makes you happy, which boosts creativity. Next headline. Politico confirms the health ranger's warning that communists are invading U.S. schools. Nursing baby is good for mom too. Breastfeeding found to reduce risk of heart attack, stroke later in life. Recall of medication for high-risk heart attack and stroke patients. Clopidogrel, sold as Plavix, has been mislabeled and recalled. Listen to this one. Intolerant liberals, let me add something to the headline. Intolerant liberals that expect you to be tolerant. Outraged that the head of animal rescue organizations is also a Trump supporter. Incredible. I'm just looking through some of these headlines. Though this is kind of good news in a way. I don't know. Is it really? New childhood survey shows that more boys want to be police officers instead of athletes. Girls want science and technical careers. Well, that's not good news. Girls should want to have children. Total stupidity of online herd mentality on display as teens challenge each other to eat Tide laundry detergent pods. No, Big Pharma's drug market is not a free market. It's a monopoly enforced racket protected by corrupt government. Did you hear that again? No, Big Pharma's drug market is not a free market. It's a monopoly enforced racket protected by corrupt government. Trump administration to let healthcare providers opt out of abortions, transgender surgeries for religious reasons. Supplements for heart health. Vitamin E found to have a synergistic effect when combined with the amino acid carnitine, protecting against heart attack. President Trump aces cognitive test, scores 30 out of 30 for brain function. Could Nancy Pelosi score anywhere close to that? Well, she's a Jew.
No, she's not. She's an Italian.
She's got the Sicilian connection. She thinks like a Jew. She acts like a Jew. She walks like a Jew. She talks like a Jew. And she screws America like the Jew. Let's take a look at a few more here. All right, I thought this article was kind of interesting. It's out of Veterans Today. Wholesale treason Why Israel Bought Congress. And how do we know Israel bought Congress? Whenever Israel wants something done, it gets done right away. When anything has to be done by Congress to help the American people, it's like pulling teeth. That's how I know. And because they're willing to abuse our rights, to sell us out on every chance they get, and they're going to be a sorry bunch in the near future. Step two, shock and awe for Iran, followed by a full-scale invasion that, according to military experts, directly responsible for drawing up our war plans, requires the fall of Pakistan, its balkanization and the military occupation of Baluchistan as a staging area. AIPAC, the Israel lobby used to, well, we don't exactly know what they are used to, but every politician in America is terrified of it for some reason, claims to have total control over the new Congress. It absolutely does. It isn't a Jewish thing. Oh, no. AIPAC got rid of six Jews who were too pro-American for their tastes. The last thing it is about is the security of Israel. Oh, right, right. A regional bully, a small land of ICBMs, germ warfare labs, and warehouses loaded with American munitions, which they sell around the world. Israel and its thuggish American lobby terrifies a lot of people. Congress, journalists, certainly. And as Noam Chomsky, another Jew, continually points out, its own citizens. But let me explain to you something that the protocols of the learned elders of Zion said that they would intimidate the people in the government and the journalists, and they would have something on each and every one of them in case they got out of line. There is a real threat against Israel. One they perceive, but many Americans are unaware of it yet. Israel is terrified of a new 9/11 investigation. Even Noam Chomsky, who is a Jew, top critic of many Israeli policies, which is part of the Hegelian dialectic, had always stopped short of debunking 9/11. He was their last line of defense, Chomsky and John Stewart, pseudo-progressive hand puppet. The explicit and declared motive of the Afghanistan war was to compel the Taliban to turn over to the United States the people who they accused of having been involved in World Trade Center and Pentagon terrorist acts. The Taliban, they requested evidence, and the Bush administration refused to provide any. But the real reason they went to Afghanistan was because the poppy fields were waning and we had to get control of those poppy fields, and now they're healthy as can be. We later discovered one of the reasons why they did not bring any evidence. They did not have any. Chomsky doesn't come out and say Israel did it. Of course he wouldn't. However, he does point out that the attack on Afghanistan was illegal, and that there has never been a shred of proof that anyone in Afghanistan has ever been involved in 9/11 at any time. Not Osama bin Laden, not the Taliban, nobody. In fact, when it came time for America to submit proof and to justify the attack in Afghanistan, America began a series of subterfuges that have been left, that have left the United States branded an aggressor and criminal state. And that's exactly what it is. When 9/11 moves away from Afghanistan, one of the two targets Israel gave us after 9/11, with the veritable flood of secret intelligence from the Mossad guiding the Jew Bush 100%, Israel is faced with real risks. When you look outside Afghanistan, you look at terrorist organizations long penetrated by Israeli intelligence, perhaps even under the control of Israel, with many groups now active in Yemen. If this door is opened, if an honest investigation begins, Israel will quickly move from trusted ally to rogue state and suspend number one. Iraq and Afghanistan have been found innocent. 9 years has found no massive underground complex such as the one Mossad told America of in Afghanistan. Another fable of the Jews, Mr. Fuji. Another fable of the Jews, ladies and gentlemen. I can't really finish this article, but they're terrified. I'll do this article later at another time. They are terrified. They even have the Jews in Saudi Arabia saying, please stop the investigations into Saudi Arabia, which is trying to make it look like we did it, but please stop that. Please stop that. It wasn't the Jews. It's not the Jews. How many times have I heard that meme? It's not the Jews. It's not the Jews. It's not the Jews. It's not the Jews. This has been a News Bite special report. Until next time, smarten up and don't look down.